I want to start off with just a couple of anecdotes about both the first reading and also the gospel, and I'll try and connect together about why I'm telling these two stories. The first story is when I was a freshman in college, we had to read the story of Abraham and Isaac along with some other readings for a class. And when we got to class, the professor asked if anyone had any comments about the reading, as would usually kind of happens. And this student in the class, who was very bright, raised his hand and said, "So what's up with this Abraham and Isaac story? It just seems a little weird." And the professor just kind of made a sigh and responded, "Yeah, I think that was a little awkward the next time he drove him to soccer practice." And the other story that I have is regarding the gospel, actually involves Father Wesley. So many years ago, Father Wesley was assigned to the parishes in Great Bend, where I grew up, around the time that I was in high school. And I remember that he got up to give a homily on the Transfiguration. It was probably one of the first homilies that I ever heard him give. And he said, more or less, "As a kid, the story that I never really understood was the Transfiguration. And as an adult, the story that I still don't really understand is the Transfiguration." And so the reason I tell both of these stories is because I think they illustrate how we often think about these passages that the church gives us to reflect on this week. So we often see them as a little strange, maybe a little confusing. Might even tell a joke to kind of relieve the tension around it. And both of them really raise difficult and a little bit of uncomfortable questions. For example, why would God ask Abraham to sacrifice his son? Seems a little cruel. Why would Jesus bring the apostles up to a mountain that just kind of seems like an out-of-place experience when he's walking around teaching and healing, and then they go up and have this very mystical experience? And those mixed emotions that we have, those questions that we may raise in our mind, what they challenge us to do is to go deeper. We shouldn't just toss them aside, but to allow our faith to enlighten us more on these readings. Both of these readings are really about preparation. Preparation. And in Lent, we are in the season of preparation. So how do these readings exactly prepare us? Well, the story of Abraham and Isaac is a typology, meaning it's a type of Christ. It's really a prefigurement of Christ. And when you read the story, it really makes a lot of sense. Abraham, the father, is asked by God to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. So they go up this mountain, and this mountain, Mount Moriah, would have been the place where Solomon would have constructed the temple later. It would also have been near Calvary, where Jesus would die on the cross. And we often think of Isaac really as like a young teenager, kind of like my professor joked about. But more than likely, he was a lot older in this story, maybe late 20s, possibly around the same age as Christ. And the reason that we think this is because Isaac is asked to carry the wood for the sacrifice, which is probably fairly heavy. So it's also a little like Christ carrying the wood of the cross up the mountain for his own sacrifice. Isaac obeys his father, just as Jesus does his father in heaven. And just before the sacrifice is made, God sends a messenger to stop Abraham from completing the sacrifice, acknowledging Abraham's obedience. And so instead they go and sacrifice a ram that's caught in the thicket. And then God makes a covenant with Abraham because he was willing to give up his son to bless, and that he would bless his descendants. So in a sense, what this story is doing is it is preparing us for Christ. It's leading us toward the crucifixion. But not even Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac was going to be enough to be able to atone for our sins. Not even the animal that they sacrificed is enough to atone for our sins completely. What has to be done is a perfect sacrifice has to be offered in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the spotless Lamb. And so this typology is really preparing us for that, it is leading us towards that. Because in this early part of Lent, we are walking toward the cross. We are leading ourselves towards the cross, the passion death of Christ on the cross on Good Friday. But we're not quite there yet. And so the Lord uses this season to be able to prepare us for that moment, to be able to draw us closer to Him, to purify us. So we're being prepared, on the one hand, through this typology of Abraham and Isaac in Genesis. And then in the gospel, the Lord is preparing us in the transfiguration. So notice how Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on a mountain, apart, by themselves. And then they see Jesus transfigured. They see him glorified, so brightly that no fuller on earth could actually make his garments that white. Jesus is preparing them. He's preparing them for the glory that will take place at the resurrection. He is pointing them towards that glory when he conquers death. We need to understand that this journey up the mountain, it happens right before Jesus is about to go down into Jerusalem to be able to prepare for his crucifixion. They will see death. And this, the death of Christ, the death of their Savior. But at this moment, it should give them some hope to look to in the resurrection, to know that his death is not the end of the story. He even tells them not to tell anyone, because no one will really understand these events until his death and resurrection take place. In fact, even these three apostles really don't understand what's totally going on. And so, in these two stories, both in the story of Abraham and Isaac and in the Transfiguration, our hearts are being prepared in Lent. We are making these sacrifices in our lives in preparation for the events of Holy Week, like Abraham and Isaac. But we also see the glory of Easter that is before us, just like the three apostles. And what can happen is we can make the mistake, like they do, and not really be sure how to react to this. We can be a little terrified. We know that something is there. We might even encounter the Lord in a very special way during this Lent. And yet we can make the mistake that Peter does to build three tents. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. Because what Peter wants to do is he sees this experience and he wants to contain that experience. He wants to contain the Lord. He wants to put the Lord in the same place as a patriarch and also one of the prophets. And we may also want to contain the Lord in our own way during this Lent. When we give things up, when we sacrifice, we often have a certain type of results that we want to get out of it. We think that we want to manage our own Lent. We think if we just do this, then I'll be holier. Instead, what can happen is that we don't allow the Lord to really work in the way that he wants to. When we give something up in preparation, we need to allow space for the Lord to work. Because preparation means that we know the end of the journey. We know that there's hope. We know that there's a resurrection. But we don't know exactly how the Lord is going to get us there. So we have to be open during Lent to know that it might take some interesting turns. The Lord might speak to us in ways that we don't really expect. He might bring about some interesting things in our lives that we're not really sure how it's all going to play out. But yet, we have to trust. We have to have faith that the Lord is working in our lives. And so in that sense, getting back to my original points about the two stories that I told at the beginning, maybe we need to become a little more comfortable with the strange, the confusing, and maybe even the uncomfortable in Lent.